We're back, and joining us on the line is Chief Michael Harrison. Yesterday, the announcement was made that he's leaving as chief of the New Orleans Police Department and will soon become the chief of the Baltimore PD. Chief, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you for having me, sir.
Chief, let me first say, I said this in any number of news reports, that I was biased. I liked the job that you did. I liked the work that you did. I liked working with you. And on National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, let me first say to you, thank you for your years of service, not only on behalf of the New Orleans community, but the community at large throughout the metropolitan area.
Thank you, Neil. That means a lot. God bless you, man. Thank you.
And I was looking at all of the pictures of you and all of the news stories, Chief, and I got to tell you, your hair's a lot grayer, dude.
It's a lot grayer, and it's a lot less of it, of the hair also.
Well, you know, it's you know the trials and tribulations of leading an organization, and there's no organization that's easy to lead. I'll be quite frank with you, because, you know, law enforcement today is looked upon so differently than when you started, and I started a little earlier than you in law enforcement, and it's different. Your thoughts?
It's different, and you're absolutely right. And today, whether you agree with it or not, we're expected to be all things to all people, and have an expertise in all things so that we can be all things to all people. It's a little unfair, but you know what? We step up, unlike other professions, we actually step up and accomplish that. And I am, you know, let me first say, so grateful, so honored, so privileged to have led this department, have been a member for almost 28 years and have led it now for the past 4.5 for the citizens of New Orleans and the members who work here. So honored to have done that. And, you know, we're a very different department now than when we started. We had a lot of challenges, but I'm proud to be able to work through those challenges with a really good team of people working as a team at every level, internally and with external stakeholders, community partners, other leaders in law enforcement like you and their agencies helping. And we're all making good strides. And to see the turnaround that we've made, and now the reform along with violent crime reduction at the same time, really speaks to the execution of the plan and the vision by the members of our department over time. It's just an honor and a privilege to be here. And to say that in 2012, the DOJ referred to us as the most troubled or the worst department in America. And now departments are hiring talent from that department to go and help other departments. I think that speaks volume for us, and I'm honored to be a part of that transformation.
So, Chief, I got to ask you, it wasn't too long ago I got a call about an offer, and you just recently got a call about an offer. What went through your mind?
Well, you know, the organizations that you and I both belong to, we are always in a network of people, and we know when jobs are being offered and openings are there, and people will ask us to have interest. And, you know, that happens actually quite frequently, but my heart, mind, body, and soul was always in New Orleans. But, you know, people thought I had the skill set to do what needs to be done in Baltimore. And certainly on this Saturday, I got a call because the person who was supposed to be the designate, you know, there were some issues and family issues, but I got a call with the job offer. And immediately, it's a very humbling experience, but we had a very generous and a very serious conversation about, you know, the successes we've had in New Orleans over time, and now taking those lessons learned and applying them to Baltimore, who have very similar dynamics, very similar issues, almost sister cities, and that I could bring those lessons learned there to help them. And it was about what we've been able to do here, and it speaks volume of our department. And then what I would be leaving behind, stepping aside, because I've been able to cultivate and develop and groom other leaders. And now it's their time to rise up and take leadership positions. And one, you know, hopefully they can take this department to higher levels than I was able to take it. And then I can go on and then help somebody else do the very same thing that they're faced with now, that we were faced with 8 and 10 years ago. And that's a defining moment. It was a defining moment for me. So in that conversation, you know, I was looking at my past, my present, and then now my future. And it was a very defining moment. And then it's what caused me to reconsider. and then to say yes to it. It's an opportunity and a challenge, but with the right team, I believe now people can say, yes, New Orleans has produced the kind of talent that can go anywhere in the country and help anybody and turn other departments around like we did here in New Orleans.
Absolutely, Chief. Couldn't have said it better myself. Good leaders develop successors to that leadership, and it's one of the things that's necessary to keep the organization going, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, for the entire 4 years, we've been working to cultivate leaders at all levels, you know, supervisory and mid-level management, command and executive levels, to cultivate, develop, and groom leaders both here and send them away to the best leadership and management schools across the country so that, you know, mayors will have options and people can step into the roles and promotions will be fairly easy and we can develop skill sets so that when opportunities like the one came to me comes, there are no gaps. And we don't have gaps in periods where nobody has the skill set to perform. We actually have that. And so for 4 years, we've been doing that at every level. And it's shown across the country. And that's why Mayor Pugh was able to notice it. It's why Mayor Cantrell was able to notice it here in the department. And for that, I am eternally grateful. And I'm proud of my department and what we've been able to accomplish. And I'm proud to take on a new challenge. But I have to just say thank you to you, WWL. Thank you to your listeners and followers for all of the love and support, the outpouring of good wishes, and the opportunity to come on your show and just talk about what we're doing and explain both the good and the bad. It's been an honor and a privilege.
Absolutely. Chief, when we come back, I want you to think about the high point in your tenure as chief and the low point in your tenure as chief when we return. This is Newell on WWL. We're back with Chief Michael Harrison of the New Orleans Police Department, soon to be the chief of the Baltimore PD. And Chief, you know, during your tenure, a lot of challenges. What were the high notes? What were the not so high notes?
Good question. You know, certainly the appointment by Mayor Mitch Landrieu, the appointment by Mayor Cantrell, and now the appointment by Mayor Pugh are certainly the high notes for me personally. But professionally, throughout the span of my career, especially as the chief, just, you know, being able to see the department turn itself around. And now, you know, my assistant chiefs and my commanders are being flown across the country and even out of the country to teach on, you know, how to reduce crime, how to be accountable, how to transform an agency like a police department, and having like 20 plus agencies across the country come in to learn from us and be highlighted at national conferences. Those are the really high points for me that the members of the department actually get the credit for because they execute. And it's not just me personally, it's the members of the department that really deserve that credit. Those are really, really high points. And Newell, I know you would share this with me. You know, having to bury officers killed in the line of duty are the low points. I've had to do that. I'm sitting in my office now and four pictures are hung on the wall next to me. They were killed in the line of duty. I've had others who died in the line of duty from other things but weren't killed. And, you know, having to attend their funerals to, you know, deliver eulogies, those are the low points because those things, man, you know, we carry those things, the responsibility of the well-being of the people who work for us and work with us. Those are the low points that stay with me and are in my mind and heart forever, no matter what, and their families that are our families forever, but without them. And so I think any chief really deals with those as the low points. And I share the credit of the high points with the men and women, man. And now we're in national publications on crime reduction and accountability and technology improvement. And when we go places and people say, man, look at New Orleans. You know, I remember what they used to say about them. Look at them now. I think that's a really, really, really high point. And now for another city, you know, to tap me and pull me from New Orleans is a true honor, but that's a testament to the work we've done in restoring the good name of the NOPD and making it what it really should have always been.
Chief, not to violate any confidences with your new boss, Mayor Pugh, but your work with the federal consent decree, is that something that was considered by Mayor Pugh in considering you?
Absolutely. And while we're not all the way out, we are, you know, near full compliance, and we're working on that every single day. There's always more work to be done. That was absolutely something that she and her and people close to her helping her were looking at and helping to decide to ask me to take this challenge. But it was violent crime as well. And it was similar dynamics in cities that have those similar dynamics. But it's all of it at the same time. And so if you were just, you know, looking for a leader to come in and do violent crime reduction, well, that's one kind of chief. And if it's just reform, that's another kind of chief. But doing them both with similar dynamics is something we were able to do here in New Orleans. And those challenges present themselves there as well. And I think that's what made me a unique candidate and made her comfortable asking me.
Am I correct in assuming their consent decree, they're kind of in the infancy of it still?
I think they're in the first year, and yes, that would be a yes. I think they're in the first year or maybe close to the second year, but they're still in implementation phases of various parts of it. And so we will make an assessment of where they are and what needs to be done and create a pathway to get there. But it was experience with the consent decree, successful experience. And then, of course, having the monitoring team, DOJ, and the judge kind of praise the department for moving through it so fast when you have other cities around the country who had much smaller consent decrees, took 10 and 12 years. We're just at year six and near completion.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not an easy thing to do when you sit in meetings and you have folks telling you what you should or should not be doing that sometimes is contrary to, what your beliefs are.
Well, absolutely. And certainly, you have subject matter expertise on those monitoring teams in the way of former police chiefs from big cities, from small cities. But yeah, you have a number of different disciplines on those teams. And sometimes, you know what you should do, but there's always managing expectations because I have mandates, to carry out the vision of our mayor. Certainly you have citizens who have expectations. Their representatives by way of city council members have expectations. The officers in the agency have certain expectations, and then you just happen to know the right thing to do, and you have to manage those different expectations to get it all done. Not that you'll please everybody, but you need to move the agency forward and move the department into compliance. And yes, you'll have different people that will think that there are different pathways to accomplish the mission. But a good chief has to navigate that and know how to get to the compliance.
Outside looking in, my appreciation of you is you've always had a cool temperament. You've always built bridges. And one of the things that struck me about one of your challenges in Baltimore, just kind of the outside looking in the aftermath of the Freddie Gray incident out there, is that there seemed to be a lot of marked differences of opinion in the political infrastructure in Baltimore and in the state of Maryland. And I believe the governor is trying to create an intelligence multi-dimensional, multidisciplinary intelligence unit out there, similar to what you and I have worked on together for a number of years. Are you looking forward to try and kind of heal some of those relationships? And I may be all wet on it, but I just know what I read in the paper.
Yeah, I read that yesterday also, and the answer is yes. I'm absolutely looking forward to working with not only the mayor, but the state legislature and the governor to make sure that all the resources that could be and will be available to the department are available and that we can implement and use them in a way that, number one, helps us with the fight for, to reduce violent crime, but does not adversely affect the implementation of the consent decree, which you would remember were some of our challenges here. And the lessons we learned here with how to work with other agencies who are perhaps not members of the Baltimore PD will be a very important lesson that we learned here that I can take there to make that work well, because there will be an expectation of who's policing and how policing should be done and how we utilize help that's given us.
We often talk about constitutional policing, Chief, but isn't that just really setting a bar and not willing to accept anything less and doing the necessary remediation when there's malintent on behalf of your officers day in and day out? We're not all perfect. We're not robots. And just making sure that there's the follow-up on these internal investigations and holding people accountable.
Well, you're absolutely right. We call it now, kind of use the word constitutional policing, but I think you and I will agree it's really just called policing, and there's a right way to do it.
Right.
And there's a wrong way to do it. And But we want to make sure that we have strong, great, modern policies that but are flexible to let officers perform their duties. And the right way has always been the right way. I think the management response to the wrong way has been different around the country. And I think that's what we're seeing. But I think the right way has always been the right and legal way. And, you know, but now we just call it constitutional policing. I think it is really strong management and accountability is what we should always be looking at. And the appropriate response is just as important as the bad act itself.
You know, you guys have been somewhat successful in recruiting young talent back to the policing business. And that's always a difficult venture on a good day. And on the text line, we have somebody that's asking, what would you tell a 20-year-old young man or young woman who's thinking about going into law enforcement?
Well, first of all, it's been a great career for me, and I would say it requires a will and a passion to serve and always put others first. And it's a calling, and you should never look at it as a job, because if you're looking at it as a job, you'll burn out and it won't be for you, and the citizens will know that and it won't be good for them. But if you look at it as a calling and you feel the need and the call, you have the will, compassion, to help others and to be a problem solver in your own community, I think this is the career for you, because it's always about serving and it's always, you know, about protecting, but really serving others before you serve yourself. And it's a call. Yes, it's a profession, and yes, it's a vocation, but it really is a higher calling. And when you look at it like that, you'll always think that this is the right thing to do, and you can have great success and have a wonderful career and provide a great life for yourself and your family.
Chief, those were the easy questions. Now the tough question, my friend. You are not going to abandon the Houdat Nation. Is that correct?
I'm not going to abandon the Houdat Nation. And when I get to Baltimore, I want you to watch my press conference. Some reporter is going to ask me, just like you just did, Because it'll be the first day on my job, I may not be able to answer it like I want, but watch my facial expression.
All righty. Chief, thank you so much for joining us. And let me say Godspeed and good luck to you and your family, and congratulations.
Thank you, Neil. God bless you.
All righty. We'll be right back after the break. We want to hear from you. 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. This is Newell and WWL.